I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and matching technology that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 75% of employers claim Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other online job sites, leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences daily. Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Join today by heading to Indeed.com/podcasts9 and get a £100 sponsored job credit. That's Indeed.com/podcasts9. Terms and conditions apply.
Wow, Matt, fellow adventurers. In the previous episode, we met up with Lady Slow Portals, who apparently we know from somewhere where we've never been and never been because of wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff. And she broke into the halls of Chagrox, the bronze giant, who is very large, very powerful, very magic, and apparently is interested in what I'm about to do in Sarngard Island. Not about to, but eventually going to do in Sargon, because it's not in the game yet. But it sure would be nice when it is. And anyhow, part of this preparation for what's going to Sargon Island is to go into his maze, get 3 gems. I've skipped over a bit. Watch the previous episode to catch up. Anyhow, we're in the maze. In the first place we got to, it's the map is an 8 on its side, and there's two alcoves to the north, 2 alcoves to the south. Oh, I'm just gonna pick a direction. Going north, going east, to the northeast alcove. A pale, even light dimly illuminates the broad stone corridors of the first level of Tauroc's perilous maze. Okay, northeast alcove. In the centre of this small alcove, suspended in midair, is a large bronze-hued gem. The massive, eye-shaped stone rotates slowly, casting its pale glitter off the surrounding walls. Recalling the warning about false gems issued to you by Chagrox, you wonder if the gem hovering before you is indeed real. Carefully examine the spinning gem, hoping to discover something or indicate whether or not the gem suspended in mid-air before you is real. You carefully study the glittering stone, picking a number. Bonus of 40, 20 from Arcania, 20 from Laura, gotta get 100 or more. Well, I don't really have a clue at all. Pick now. After carefully examining the gem, you're all but certain the gem is real. Head back south. All but certain that's the real gem, but what about the other gems? I went to the northwest alcove, carefully examine it. Alright, repeat now. Despite a careful examination of the gem, that's got 53. You remain uncertain as to whether or not this is real. Attempt to take the spinning gem. You carefully reach towards the spinning gem and attempt to take possession of it. Anticipation swiftly turns to dread as your fingers pass through the spinning gem. Broad tines of bronze-hued energy erupt from the core of the phantasmal stone, causing you to cry out in agony as they wrap themselves around you. 49 damage. You cry out again in agony as you struggle to free yourself from the deadly energy that now encases you, picking a number. Bonus of 50. 20 from might, 20 from body, 10 from spirit. Got to get 75 or more, or get hurt some more. Pick now. 133, success. Remarkable display of fortitude and might. You manage to tear yourself free from the powerful grasp. The false gem's deadly energy. Breathless and near to exhaustion, you collapse onto the floor of the alcove and struggle to fill your heaving lungs. After nearly a minute, you've regained enough strength to stand, and you warily return to your feet, only to discover there's no longer any sign of the suspended gem. Eager to get on with your mission, you quickly check over your equipment before preparing to resume your exploration. The clank of metal plates and the groan of heavy joints fills the passage as a fearsome sight looms into view out of the pale light ahead. A towering being of tin, easily 12 feet tall, stomps towards you along the corridor. As the being of tin approaches, the fearsome guardian of Tagrok's maze raises his massive fists, and I hope Tagrok remembers to give them telescoping fists so it can get me all the way down here, because Sir Crokington is very small. Begin combat. The enemy deals you a devastating blow. 32 damage. That's not supposed to happen. Apparently there's just... I'm not sure what's happening here. But, It's almost as if the... When it's describing its attack, there's just a red bullet point and then nothing. Anyway, maybe it'll fix it. Maybe it was just a one-off thing. We'll fix next time. 40 XP. The massive being of tin staggers back for several yards, before ultimately collapsing into a heap of twisted metal at the centre of the passage. After making certain no more of the guardians nearby, he spent a few moments checking over equipment before once again setting off through the giant's deadly maze. Alright, there's something in the southwest corner. Suddenly, it takes you only a split second to realise you've stumbled upon a deadly snare. With only a thin whistle and a wash of air, 2 dozen long, sharp iron spikes shoot out from the walls on either side of the passage. Picking a number. Bonus of 49. 19 from thievery, 20 from agility, 10 from luck. Pick, got to get 75 or more, or get stabbed. Pick now. 74, fatty boom! Been stabbed. Your attempt to dodge the snare has failed. Your agonized cries echo sound throughout the passage, as the sharp spikes tear into your flesh before swiftly retreating. Wounded and dazed, but thankful to have survived the deadly snare, you spend a few moments recovering from your ordeal before once again setting off through Tagrox's perilous maze. I'll do a bit of healing after that. Okay, now the southwest alcove. In the centre of this small alcove, suspended in mid-air, it's a large bronze-hued gem. The massive, eye-shaped stone rotates slowly, casting its pale glitter off the surrounding walls. Recalling the warning about the false gems and dearly remembering what happened with the last one, issued to you by Tagarox, you wonder if the gem hovering before you is indeed real. I know it isn't, but carefully examine it, hoping to discover something to indicate whether or not the gem suspended in mid-air before he was real. You carefully study the glittering stone, picking a number, bonus 40, success 100, pick now, 75 or failure. Despite a careful examination of the gem, made uncertain as to whether or not it is real. Attempt to take it anyway. Take it. Anticipation turns to dread as your fingers pass through the spinning gem. Broad tines of bronze-hued energy erupt from the core of the phantasmal stone, causing you to cry out in agony as they wrap themselves around you. For 31 damage, you again cry out in agony as you struggle to free yourself from the deadly energy that now encases you. Picking a number, bonus of 50, 20 from mind, 20 from body, 10 from spirit. Got to get 75 or more, pick now. 97, success. A remarkable display of fortitude and might. You manage to tear your way free from the powerful grasp of the false gem's deadly energy. Breathless, near to exhaustion, you collapse onto the floor of the alcove and struggle to fill your heaving lungs. After nearly a minute, you've regained enough strength to stand, and you warily return to your feet, only to discover there is no longer any sign of the suspended gem. Eager to get on with your mission, you quickly check over your equipment before preparing to resume your exploration. Alright, time for the southeast alcove. It's another of those gems. Examine it. Same check as before. Pick now. 59 failure. Take it anyway. Yep, and I get shocked again for 40 damage. Check. Same check as before. Bonus of 50. Says 75. Pick now. 64, failure, unable to break free from the powerful grasp of the false gem's deadly energy. You suffer a second, more potent attack. 60 damage! Whoa! I mean, when this came out, that'd have been probably about more than a quarter of your health. So, yeah. Very devastating, especially since it was after another attack, so one failure back in the oldie days would burn through half your health. Admittedly, you could heal it up pretty quickly with about three heals, but still, this dungeon will drain you. Badly wounded, breathless, near to exhaustion, you collapse onto the floor of the alcove and struggle to fill your heaving lungs. After nearly a minute, you've regained enough strength to stand and spring, and you warily return to your feet. Only to discover there is no longer any sign of the suspended gem. Eager to get on with your mission, you quickly check over your equipment before preparing to resume your exploration. Alright, there's something in the southeast corner. There's steps that go down. And the northeast corner, it's a deadly snare. Same check as the last snare. Pick now. 119. Success. 64 XP to general. Ooh, that's quite a lot of XP for passing a snare. Compared to the, what was it, 16 or so experience you got for passing snares in the Mad. Although, admittedly, there was a lot of snares in the Mad. So many, I kind of stopped paying attention to them and skipped over reading what they said. But this is new. In a remarkable 64 XP to general, in a remarkable display of skill and agility, you manage to dodge the deadly snare. Now, mindful that you'll need to remain ever on your guard in these passages, you quickly resume your mission, eager to retrieve the three gems and escape from this perilous maze. Alright. It's another Tin Guardian, just gonna quick combat that. 40 XP. No, actually, I don't want to quick combat it. I want to fight it manually. Yeah, it's still got the... Okay, it can do damage to you. It's just that it doesn't describe what it does. I mean, you can probably infer, but... It is a bit odd. When it's not, its attack is not being described. And it deals you a devastating blow for 24 damage. Maybe that's just the default for the special, or the same as the previous special. But for some reason, there's no description of its default attack. Which is odd. Very odd. Oh, well. I'll probably have to email the GM about this. Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to email the GM about that. The GM a bug report about that. And Slane. I'll be doing that right now. Alright, the GM will soon know about it. Well, he'll probably do something about it. Not sure. I mean, he usually does when there's a bug. But it's not game-breaking. It's just odd. The massive being of tin staggers backwards for several yards before ultimately collapsing into a heap of twisted metal in the centre of the passage. After making certain there are no more of the guardians nearby, he spent a few moments checking over equipment before once again setting off through the giant's deadly maze. Okay, northeast alcove, attempt to take the spinning gem, which by elimination and by my own investigation is the wheel gem. Attempt to take the spinning gem. You carefully reach towards the spinning gem and attempt to take possession of it. You breathe a sigh of relief as your fingers close around the solid form of the spinning gem. As you take possession of the curious stone, you're shocked when it suddenly melts away in your grasp and vanishes. A low pulsing hum and a bright white light now fill the alcove. In the centre of the alcove, over the very spot in which the spinning gem previously floated, hovers a glowing portal. The bright white gate, its churning core like the eye of a great storm, emits a low pulsing hum. Step into the glowing portal. The instant you step into the glowing portal, your surroundings change. Okay, I'm in a new place. You're standing on a broad, well-beaten path that winds through a vast, tangled thicket of green, thorny vines. Thick, grey ceilings of clouds churn endlessly in the dim, sunless sky above. Now, we're not sure if it's sunless just because we can't see the sun, or it's sunless because we're somewhere in the nebulous where there are no suns. Behind you, hovering over inches above the ground, is the glowing portal through which you entered this strange realm. I'll leave that for now. Okay, I've went north and there's a little passage snakes off to the southeast and to the northwest. The lush vegetation at the end of the edge of the path suddenly explodes as a massive pair of thorny vines streak out of the undergrowth and attempt to ensnare you. Having narrowly dodged the surprise attack, you quickly find yourself engaged in a desperate battle against a deadly plant creature. As a mass of thorny vines begin combat, they shoot out to ensnare you. Oh good, there's a tat description here. So it's a one-off thing with the Tin Guardian, probably. The vines twist around your torso and squeeze you with blown splintering force for 8 damage. Ooh, look, and a special description for the special attack. Always fun to see those. That's usually the main reason I do manual fights, so I can just see if anything interesting happens with the specials. 73 XP. You spend several moments recovering from the fight, checking over equipment before again preparing to set off along the path. Suddenly, the edge of the path, partially concealed by several strewn bits of the slain vine creature, you discover an engraved tin key. Realising this curious item must hold some importance, because otherwise it wouldn't be here, you promptly take possession of it. It's an engraved tin key. This Tinkry bears an engraving that depicts a 12-fingered hand. With the key now safely in amongst your other belongings, you once again resume your trek along the path. Okay, keep going. Southeast corner. Rising out of the middle of this section of the path is a large block of grey stone. A bronze lock plate is set into the centre of the top of the plate. The lock bears a square keyhole. Alright, I might as well use... I've just got a key. There's a keyhole. This seems pretty obvious what to do. Use it! Despite your effort, the key doesn't seem to fit into the oddly shaped keyhole. Alright. Okay, maybe not that one. Alright. Maybe there's something I have to do first. Okay. And a bit north. And a bit northwest of the entrance. It turns to the north, but there's a question mark in the way. The lush vegetation at the edge of the path suddenly explodes as a massive pair of thorny vines shriek out of the undergrowth and attempt to ensnare you, having narrowly dodged a surprise attack. You quickly find yourself engaged in a desperate battle against a deadly plant creature. Begin combat against a maze of thorny vines. The mass of thorny vines shoot out to ensnare you, as they do. The vines twist around your torso and squeeze you with bone-splintering force for 7 damage. Keep going, and they do it again for 10 damage. Stop splintering my bones! I need them for various things! And again, for 6 damage with this bone splintering. I'm going to have bone splinters all over the place! 73 XP. You spend several moments recovering from the fight and checking over equipment before preparing to once again set off along the path. It's another mass of thorny vines. I'm just going to quick combat this one. It is slain. 73 XP. I think one of them was a random combat. Another mass of thorny vines. Quick combat. 73 XP. Lots and lots of combat experience here. Okay. Lots going on here. The maze splits off into various directions. I can go north and there's a little alcove. The last vegetation, here's another mass of thorny vines. There's a question mark, it was in my way. Quick combat that. Alright. Alcove in the northwest corner. Smooth surface of the slab. At the edge of this section of the pass, it's a broad, thick slab of grey stone. The smooth surface of the slab is unmarred in any way. Okay. And then east of where we turned. Okay, and going east into the middle is another question mark. Another mass of thorny vines. Quick combat. Another 73 XP. And then southeast of those thorny vines, you end up with the T junction. Right to the north. Rising out of the middle of this section of the path is a large block of grey stone. The bronze lock plate is set in the centre of this top of the lock. The lock plate bears a triangular tree hole, used an engraved tin key. Despite what you initially assumed to be an odd fit, the key fits snugly into the strangely shaped hole and snaps into place. With a careful twist, you turn the key. The result is a sharp click. And much to your surprise, the moment you remove the key, the hole sets into the face of the stone block. Bam vanishes. 16 XP to general. Okay, and the southern alcove in this T, and pentagonal hole this time in the bronze locks plate in the block of grey stone. Whatever used the key here, doesn't fit. Okay, looks like the key just only fits in one of them. Okay, right, mass of thorny vines. Quick combat. Okay, maybe something's turned up here in the northeast. Smooth surface of the slab is unmarred in any way. Oh, wait. Oh, I get it. You're supposed to do the... You're supposed to turn the keys in order. Massive 40 vines, quick combat, another 73 XP. Gonna end up with thousands of combat experience by the time this is done. Which is nice. Oh, it helps level up your combat abilities. And of course it goes into the quickstone bonus. And you get general XP as well from that. And you can use that for anything. And of course, making numbers bigger is better. Right, southeast corner, square keyhole, engraved tin key. Despite what you initially assumed to be an odd fit, the tin key fits snugly into the strangely shaped hole and snaps into place. With a careful twist, you gently turn the key, resulting in a sharp click. Much to the surprise, the moment you remove the key, the stone set into the face of the stone block vanishes. Okay, is the key the same? Has the key been changed? Engraved tin key. Yeah, still 12-fingered hand. Okay. And next up to the pentagonal. Massive 40 vines. Quick combat that. Another 73 XP. Keep going. Massive 40 vines. Quick combat. 73 XP. Alright, keep going. And now the lock plate with the pentagonal keyhole. Using engraved tin key. Another 16 XP to general. Much to surprise, the moment you remove the key, the hole set into the face of the lock. The hole set into the face of the stone block vanishes. 16 XP to general. Okay, now I'll go to the walk with no keyholes. At the edge of this sector of the path sits a broad, fixed slab of grey stone. A key-shaped impression has been carved in the centre of the slab. So, a place to put a key then? Engraved tin key. The moment you place your engraved tin key into the impression on the slab, it emits a bright white glow and vanishes. 64 XP to general. As the glow fades, you now note that an inscription has replaced the key-shaped impression on the face of the stone slab. The inscription reads, "Onto thee is granted a path of safety." Safety from what? Okay, now, just north of the north part of the T, you can go round a question mark, which, considering they're talking about path of safety, I'm assuming is very dangerous, to the northern edge of this area, where there's another question mark. But what is this thing I'm supposed to go round? Okay, first I'm going to heal myself, because apparently it's dangerous, and also I've done this before, so I remember it being dangerous. A towering crack statue depicting three massive barbed vines stands in the middle of this section of the path. Countless bones from a vast myriad of creatures lie heaped about the base of this somewhat gruesome monument. Okay, whatever it is, it's deadly, but where are these bones coming from? I haven't seen any creatures. I've seen those four mazy vines, but where are the creatures from? Is this staff just jump whatever, just hurl whatever little blighters sneak into his place? They just end up in this maze and then they blunder around for a bit and eventually this thing kills them. While you realise you could attempt to step around the statue and continue on your way, you remain uncertain of the wisdom of such a course. It's not wise at all. But we must know. Step past the statue and continue along the path. The moment you approach the statue, the massive monument stirs to life. Before you can retreat along the path, the deadly stone guardian of this strange realm unleashes a fearsome attack. It's a living vine statue. Begin combat. Now, when this first came out, this was one of those things which you couldn't fight. Normal characters wouldn't be able to handle it. That's why you need the Woot Around. Okay, they could handle it, but they'd have to cheese it with the Wand of Dragonfire and or the Finger of Dread. The Living Vine statue strikes it with its barbed tendrils. Anyway, it's a lot weaker now, but it's still just a devastating blow for 32 damage. And then on 29, now I go into a battle wage. Keep going. Devastating blow for 28, and then 28. And then 28 again. Keep going. Gonna use all three of my Kickstone 20s. Just gonna devastating blow. Keep going. Oh, he's got an anti-magic aura that just blocks any magic you even try. So you can't. You've slain your foe. Oh, that was very close. Very, very close. I'm down to just 29 XP. If it got lucky, I'd be dead. Well, my character would be dead. I'd be fine, because, you know, fourth wall and all that. You've slain your foe. 13 XP. And 1024 experience to general. With a sharp sound of splintering stone rising into the air. The massive living monument crumples into a heap of rubble. Hopelessly weary in the wake of your victory, you spend several minutes recovering from the brutal fight. With the path ahead now clear, you prepare to resume your exploration. Now, previously, when this game first came out, it wouldn't be gone. There'll just be another one there. If you defeated it. And if you defeated that, there'll be another one. And then another one. And then another one. Another one. Another one. Another one. Another one. Another one. So it was either a impassable object for regular characters. Or a grind spot for ridiculously overpowered uber characters who don't even freaking need the XP anymore. Yeah. Right, I'm just going to check that on the wiki. Yeah, you used to be able to just keep smashing those statues over and 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 over again. And at least one person got more than 100,000 XP from that. But apparently the GM noticed that and went, Nah, we can't just have XP be that easy to get. I mean,
professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, so focus is important. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, focus and quickly get through work with relevant real-time suggestions. And it works across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can sound more confident and persuasive wherever you write. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue one last year.
I know, by a wide margin, too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue one last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
I mean, then you max out your character, and then what will you do then? You'll have to make a new character. And play for all these fun adventures all over again. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what you should do, but I think a lot of people just max out their characters and then just keep them. Not really sure what you do with a character when you've got everything to max level. You've bought every upgrade for your grand residences and you have a swimming pool full of gold and all that, but I guess it's nice just to blast through things with your super powerful guy. Who knows. It's not for me, anyway. I mean, once I got my super powerful guy of Grunstadt, who got his Kickstarter bonuses, making them an Uber guy, I thought, all right, well, time to make a new account with regular characters. And then I did. And that's what you're playing right now. And I'm on to the fourth of them now. So once this one's done, I'm going to have to make another new account. Keep going. Okay, and at the end of the passage. As you reach the end of the meandering path, you are drawn to a warm, bronze-hued glow from somewhere up ahead. There, resting on the ground at the very end of the path you've been following. It's a small, glowing, bronze-covered gem. Although much smaller than the suspended gem that led you into the strange realm, the tiny stone appears identical in every way. For initially aware you're just reaching down and taking the gem, a careful examination of the immediate area and an inspection of the stone itself helps set your mind at ease. Without further delay, you take possession of the gem. Tiny bronze-hued gem, one of three. Let's have a look at it. This tiny bronze-hued gem, and we do mean tiny, is the size of a very small pebble. Or I guess a very large gravel. Because that's just how it works in geology. Because you get pebbles up to a certain... Oh, wait. I'm going to look it up. Apparently, pebbles start at about 4 millimetres across, and gravel is below that. And if you go a lot below that, you get sand. So it could well be that this very tiny pebble is actually a very large gravel. We haven't got any calipers handy so we can measure it exactly. But I'm just gonna say, he says very small pebble, then he means very small pebble. Then it must be exactly four millilitres across. That's as small as you can get and still be a pebble. So that's how small it is. Or not. Who knows? Maybe the borders between pebbles and gravel are different in the world of Swift. Or maybe they never even have the term gravel. I don't know if that's been in the game. The term gravel, I mean, pebble's been used. It's used right here. And we definitely hear the word we hear the word boulders. Probably cobbles has turned up. If only to describe the roads. And of course, sand will turn up, so... Who knows? I've not been going through this game line by line to follow all the mentionings of different grain size descriptions. I mean, someone could, but I don't think even I'm quite that obsessive, but maybe someone will be. The instant your fingers close around the pebble-sized stone, your surroundings change. Okay, and we're back where we were. All right, we're still on the first level. All right, take some stairs down. Climb down the stairs, taking great care with every step. You descend deeper into Tagawox's perilous maze. Alright, we're at 37 minutes. Okay, this looks like some... This layer of the dungeon looks like some sort of double-sided fork. Where the north prong, and there's a south prong, and there's something in the middle as well. Suddenly, and I've gone into the middle. Suddenly, it takes you only a split second to realise you've just stumbled upon a deadly snare. With a reverberating thud, a massive metal-bites ball of stone drops onto the passage ahead and rolls towards you at incredible speed. Do 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 do. I better sing this one before some lawyers find me. With this thundering approach ringing in your ears, you prepare to make a desperate attempt to spring over the hurtling spear, picking a number. Bonus of 19. 19 from thievery, 20 from agility, 10 from luck. Got it, 75 or more. Pick it now! 131. Success! 64 XP to general. In a remarkable display of skill and agility, you manage to dodge the deadly snare. Now mindful you need to remain ever on your guard in these passages, you quickly resume your mission, eager to retrieve the 3 gems and escape from this perilous maze. Okay, I'm making my way towards the northeast prong. There's stairs there. Alright, northeast prong. In the centre of this small alcove, suspended in midair, is a large bronze-hued gem. The massive, eye-shaped stone rotates slowly, casting its pale glinter off the surrounding walls. Recalling the warning about false gems issued to you by Tagrox, you wonder if the gem hovering before you is indeed real. Let's head back south. Alright, I'm just going to keep wandering around, trying to get myself into a random combat. The clank of metal plates and the groan of heavy joints filled the passage as the fearsome night looms into view out of the pale light ahead. A towering being of copper, easily 12 feet tall, stomps towards you along the corridor. As the copper being approaches, the deadly guardian of Tagrox's maze raises its claw-tipped hands. It's a copper guardian. Does this one have a regular fight? Nope. No, the description is missing for this one too. Yeah, that's a bit of a problem, that. Not much of a problem, but a bit of a problem. Of course, it's not a Bethesda-level problem. Because it's such a not-a-problem that this thing has been active for about 15 years and no one brought it up. Probably because most people just quit combat anything. And they miss out on reading precious words. Silly biddies. Okay. Yep, devastating blow for 34 damage. Yep, now I just can quick combat the rest of them. 72 experience. The enchantments of metal and devastation helped in that fight. The copper Benamoth groans, his knees buckle, and gives way beneath its massive bulk. With a reverberating thud, the fearsome guardian of the maze collapses into a heap. To making certain there are no more of the guardians nearby, you spend a few moments checking over the equipment before once again setting off through the maze's giant's deadly maze. I hope Tagrox doesn't expect me to pay for these too, because as I previously covered, I don't have any gold. Oh well. Maybe there could be an installment plan. Alright, so another copper guardian. Quick combat. 72 experience. Alright. And there's another set of stairs. Stairs between the south and the southwest spot prong. Okay, I'm not going to investigate any of these gems until something happens which will help me. Alright, just going to keep fighting these random little copper guardians. Just fought another one. Where are you? Copper guardians. I'm going to be incredibly annoying, so you try to smash me. But then I'll smash you. I'll get experience points and maybe something else. I kind of hope I haven't ruined it. Bye. Oh! Easily 12 feet tall, stop, dumps towards you along the corridor. As the copper being approaches, the deadly guardian of Tagrox's maze suddenly adopts a bright red glow and raises his tall clip. Claw tipped hands. Alright, gonna fight this one manually. Nope, still no description. Apparently, but it happens. Devastating blow for some damage. It is slain. 72 XP. The towering copper Benamoth groans as its knees buckle and it gives way beneath its massive bulk. With a reverberating thud, the fearsome guardian of the maze collapses into a heap. The glow still emanating from the remains of the metal guardian suddenly intensifies before slowly fading. As the last faint remnants of the glow vanish, the phantasmal likeness of a bronze-hued gem appears above the destroyed defender, only to disappear a split second later. After making certain there are no more of the guardians nearby, very nearby, if it's just regular nearby, there's plenty of them. In fact, there's an infinite number. I don't know, he probably has a little factory that makes them. Just a tiny little foundry of goblins that just spend all day just making more and more of these statues so that I can smash them. Alright, anyway, you did some good work, you tiny goblin foundry workers making your little guardians. I appreciate the XP I got for destroying your hard work. To making certain there are no more of the guardians nearby, he spent a few moments checking over equipment before once again setting off through the deadly maze. Okay, check out the northwest. The centre of the small alcove, suspended in midair, is a large bronze-hued gem. The massive eye-shaped stone rotates slowly, casting its pale glitter off the surrounding walls. Suddenly, the suspended gem flares brightly, dazzling you with the brilliance of the bronze light that floods out its many facets. Moments later, when the gem fades, there is no longer any sign of the floating gem. You suddenly realise your defeat of the glowing guardian on this level of Tagrox's maze has likely played a role in helping you to identify the real gem. With your spirits buoyed by this realisation, you immediately prepare to continue your mission and resume your exploration. So we have an area where you can solve a puzzle to get past a fight, and where you can get past a fight, you can do some fights to get past a puzzle. Alright, and it's another gem. Suddenly, it disappears. Alright, and now, northeast sprung. Prong. Alright. The suspended gem flares brightly, dazzling you with the brilliance of the bronze light that floods out its many facets. Moments later, when the glow fades, there is no longer any sign of the photoing gem. You suddenly realise the defeat of the glowing god, this level of Tyrox's maze, has likely played a role in helping you to identify the real gem. Your spirits buoyed by this realisation, you immediately prepare to continue your mission and resume your exploration. Alright, keep going. Another copper guardian, just going to quick combat that. The 72 experience, it all adds up. Slowly but surely, building up the experience. Randomly wandered around to beat up another one for another 72 experience. You can grind on this level just to get infinite combat experience, especially if you have the Hellblade equipped. Because that means you just will heal automatically, eventually. Especially if you have a lot of SP. That means you could probably just wander around forever. Or, you know, until you get bored. Or until you worry about risk of losing your progress after there's a server update and you then get blocked back to your previous save, which you can't make any here because, well, that could put you in a very sticky wicket indeed. Alright. Anyway, southeast prong. Yeah, the bronze suit gem. The centre of this small alcove, suspended in midair, is a large bronze suit gem. The massive eye-shaped stone rotates slowly, casting its pale glitter off the surrounding world. Suddenly, it disappears, thanks to the glow. Back north. Well, that one didn't instantly disappear to the south sprung. And southwest? Okay. Then that means the south sprung must be the true one. Examine the spinning gem, hoping to discover something that will indicate whether or not the suspended gem in mid-air before his wheel. He carefully studied the glittering stone. Well, I know it's wheel because it's the only one left. Bonus 40, success 100, 63 failure. Despite your careful examination of the gem, you remain uncertain as to whether or not it is wheel. Attempt to take the spinning gem. You carefully reach towards the spinning gem and attempt to take possession of it. You breathe a sigh of relief as your fingers close around the solid form of the spinning gem. As you take possession of the curious stone, you're shocked when it suddenly melts away in your grasp and vanish. A low, pulsing hum and a bright light now fill the alcove. In the centre of the alcove, over the very spot in which the spinning gem previously floated, hovers a glowing portal. The bright, white gate, its churning core like the eye of a great storm. It's a low, pulsing hum. Step into the glowing portal. This is you step into the glowing portal, your surroundings change. You're standing on a broad path that snakes through a dark, murky swamp. Mist rises from the surface of the dark pools. The broader the track upon which you precariously tread. A thick, grey seeming of clouds churn endlessly in the dim, sunless sky above. Behind you, hovering only inches above the ground, is the glowing portal through which you entered this strange realm. Okay, on the south side of this dungeon, and it seems, from what I can see, we've got three alcoves converging into the middle, and there's something in the southwest corner. A loud hiss rises above the hum of insects in the Vestis bog, as a massive, green-scaled serpent slithers onto the path only a few yards in front of you. The vicious predator easily 20 feet long and more than capable of swallowing Sir Crokington whole, slithers forward and attacks, stretching wide its fanged jaws as it prepares to do just that. Begin combat with the massive serpent. The massive serpent lunges forward, trying to swallow Sir Crokington's hole, but, you know, gets... I kind of get in the way and he just bonks me instead. Keep going. Oh, there's a special, but I didn't read it. Naughty me. Naughty, but there'll be another one soon enough. Okay, not for that one. 73 XP. You spend several moments recovering from the fight and checking over your equipment before once again setting off along your path. Okay, I'm just going to wander around a bit. Look for a serpent. Massive serpent. Lunges forward and strikes. Pain whacks your body as the venom of your enemy courses through your veins for 8 damage. And then 11 damage. And then 4 damage. Okay, that's enough biting me. I'm angry now. I go into battle rage. I think I get out of it again very quickly. Apparently I wasn't that angry. And slain. 73 XP. You spend several moments recovering from the fight and checking over your equipment before preparing to once again set off along your path. Okay. Another massive serpent. Just going to quick combat that. 73 XP. Massive serpent. Quick combat that. 73 XP. Oh, we have a suddenly. At the edge of the path, almost completely hidden behind some strewn bits of the slain serpent, you take notice of an engraved copper key. Realising the curious item must hold some importance, you promptly take possession of it. An engraved copper key. The copper key bears an engraving that depicts an 18-fingered hand. That's just too many fingers! With the key now... It just be confusing! You're trying to hold up your fingers. You won't know which one to hold up. Although, admittedly, if they have 18-finger hands, they probably, assuming they have 2 hands, have a base 36 number system. Which would be something. Something indeed. But I guess they're used to it. These beings with 18-fingered hands. Although they would make making gloves an absolute pig to make gloves with 18 fingers. Such a pig. With the key now safely tucked in amongst your other belongings, you once again resume your trek along the path. Okay. And there's a little thing in the northwest corner. Another massive serpent. Quick combat. 73 XP. Take the time to heal myself a bit. Massive serpent. Quick combat. 73 XP. And here north is a statue of a two-headed serpent. And you know what? Considering how tough the last statue was, and all the bones around it, of all the things it ate but then couldn't digest because it's stone, and thus they just kind of fall out of its mouth. While you realise you could attempt to step around the statue continuing your way, you remain uncertain as to wisdom of such a course. I'm going to go back south because, I mean, the previous one nearly finished me off. And so that means this one could finish me off, which would be quite annoying because I've got nearly an hour of progress, admittedly an hour of progress done not 100% efficiently, but still. It'll take me quite a while to get going, and I'll have to do all the stuff that gets you to this maze as well. So it's take about half an hour to get back where I was, maybe. Even though if I click through everything. Okay, yeah, we've got a square with four alcoves that go into the middle. Okay, northern alcove, square keyhole. Rising out of the middle of this section of the path is a large block of grey stone. A bronze locked plate is set into the centre of the top of the lock. The lock bears a square keyhole. Can I use... Oh, I didn't put the engraved key in the quick use banner, but I'll fix that. Engraved copper key. Use. Despite what you initially assumed would be an odd fit, the copper fit key... The copper fits snugly into the squinty shaped hole, snaps into place. With a careful click, you gently turn the key. The result is a sharp click. Much to your surprise, the moment you remove the key, the hole set into the face of the stone block vanishes. Okay, yeah, there's going to be a massive serpent near the northeast corner of the square. Right, east side, octagonal keyhole. Can I use the engraved copper key? No, not yet. It's a grey stone, octagonal keyhole. Okay, it's probably going to be a hexagonal one here. It's unmarred in any way, so obviously I can't use the key yet because there's nowhere to put it. Maybe they'll... No. Well, we know from the previous one. Rising out of the middle of this section of the path is a large block of grey stone. The bronze lock plate is set in the centre of this top of the block. The lock plate bears an octagonal keyhole. Quick combat with engraved copper key. Despite what you initially assumed would be an odd fit, the copper key fits snugly into the strangely shaped hole and snaps into place. With a careful twist, you gently turn the key. Sorted a sharp click. Much to your surprise, the moment you remove the key, the whole set into the face of the block vanishes. 16 XP to general. Okay, now to go to the eastern alcove. Past another massive serpent. Another 73 XP. And then another one. Another 73 XP. I mean, if I had my Hellblade, I could just grind an unlimited amount of those. If for some reason I felt like doing that. I mean, Inscrift is not the sort of game where you have to stop and grind for a few hours because you're stuck. Or it's easier to grind for an hour than spend an hour repeatedly failing at a boss. Over and 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 over again. No, I much prefer, you know, just to, you know, do a bit of grinding, because, I mean, it doesn't have to be hard. You can just put some music on, not really pay that much attention, just grind it out. You know, better than being super frustrated by the boss. Yeah, for me, anyway. I mean, there are people with low-level ones and a challenge obsession who just cannot possibly enjoy a game unless there's a real risk of failure at every single moment. For me, that's just... Oh, that means I'm going to have to do the boring stuff again! Doing stuff again, and I won't even be able to click through it because I'm going to have to constantly pay attention so I don't fail. Oh, okay, east alcove, octagonal block, octagonal hole and square grey stone, grey top of key, another 16 XP, the hole vanishes, massive serpent once again. Another 73 XP. Probably got about 1,000 XP just from fighting these serpents. Key-shaped impression has appeared in the centre of the slab. Grave copper key. Now, if you never did this bit, you could take these keys back with you, presumably. I'm not sure. Can you? I'll check. The moment you press the engraved copper key into the impression on the slab, it emits a bright white glow and then vanishes. You are no longer carrying the engraved copper key. 64 Expedia General. As the glow fades, you now note that the inscription has replaced the key-shaped impression on the face of the stone slab. The inscription reads, "Onto thee is granted a path of safety." Alright, and that will get me around the impossibly tough mini-boss, which I'm just doing. Do-do-do-do, round the deadly statue. And to the north of that, alcove pointing north. As you reach the end of the meandering path, you are drawn to a warm, bronze-hued glow from somewhere up ahead. There, resting on the ground at the very end of the path you've been following, is a small, glowing, bronze-covered gem. Though much smaller than the suspended gem that led you into this strange realm, the tiny stone appears identical in every way. Though initially wary of just reaching down and taking the gem, a careful examination of the immediate area and an inspection of the stone itself helps set your mind at ease. Without delay, you take possession of the gem. It's a tiny bronze-hued gem, and now I have two of them. The instant your fingers close around the pebble-sized stone, your surroundings change. And now I'm back where I was. Yeah, and the portal's gone now, with the gem obtained with the gem you obtained in the realm beyond the portal now safe in your possession, you once again prepare to set off through the maze. Okay, we've passed an hour now, so okay, we'll just save the last gem for a third episode. Okay, so that's that. And until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
This message comes from BetterHelp. Can you think of a time when you didn't feel like you could be yourself? Like you were hiding behind a mask? BetterHelp online therapy is convenient, flexible, and can help you learn to be your authentic self so you can stop hiding. Because masks should be for Halloween fun, not for your emotions. Take off the mask with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.